Pray ye, therefore, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the Middle Ages, a citizen of Mantua, a city in Italy not far from Venice, was falsely accused of a crime and put into prison. After some 40 days of this fare, he had had enough and besieged heaven by a three-day fast. And then he prayed to St. Mark, who is the local patron of that region, as his tomb and shrine are in Venice. As soon as he prayed to St. Mark, this holy apostle, this evangelist, appeared to him and told him he was free, he could leave the prison. The man thought he was dreaming a dream and didn't believe what the vision told him. So St. Mark had to come back a second time, and then finally a third time to tell him, go, you are free. And it was only when the prisoner noticed that the door of his cell was open that he thought, maybe I am. And he tried his chains, and they broke right off, and he walked right past the guards. He could see them, they couldn't see him, and into the broad daylight of the city, and he walked all the way to Venice to make his thanksgiving at the tomb of St. Mark. But it took him, this saint, three tries to persuade this man that his prayer was heard. We're a bit like that man, aren't we? The Protestants say, expect a miracle, whereas we traditional Catholics say, expect the worst. No one could ever accuse us, I suppose, of being overly confident in prayer. But today is a day of prayer. We were up early this morning at 7 o'clock. There were the greater litanies. It was raining. That's an answer to a prayer because that cuts down an attendance for the car show, and that makes things a little bit easier for our congregation getting into church today. We were processing around the church, chanting the great litany of the saints, a very powerful prayer, and then there was an extra high mass at 7:30 today, the mass of the rogations or the asking for the greater litany's observance. And now we're singing this other second high mass of St. Mark, apostle and evangelist. And here we are, where we are every Sunday about this time. We are in the middle of a miracle, and it is the miracle of the Mass. And I ask you today to look for your miracle at Mass. If only you could change your attitude from almost a cynicism about prayer to one of confidence. Sacred Heart of Jesus, I place my trust in Thee, though I fear all things because of my sins. I hope for all things because of Thy mercy. If only this new attitude could change the way you look at life, the whole of your life. If only you could take some faith, you have faith, all of you, and put it into our Heavenly Father, into the wounds of His risen Son, for whom nothing is impossible. Pray ye therefore. Our Lord tells us to pray for vocations, for good priests and religious, but to pray for many intentions in today's Mass. Pray. It is true, there are many problems we have when it comes to prayer. First of all, it's just not there. Either we don't say our prayers at all, and that's the case, isn't it? Sometimes whole days could go by without anything you could really call prayer escaping your lips or formed in your heart. But then the other problem is this, that other days we do say our prayers, but that's all we do. That is to say that we recite certain words or formulae that we've learned by heart as children, and we say them as quickly as possible. Prayer, it might seem to you, again, if you were a little cynical, that you are damned if you do and damned if you don't. But I tell you this with all confidence, you are damned if you do not. St. Alphonsus says it's quite clear. If you do not pray, you will go to hell. But when we hear these thoughts, sometimes still there's a little confidence we have in prayer. But let me tell you this too. There's an awful lot to be said for just saying your prayers. Reciting that Our Father and those three Hail Marys and the act of contrition. Reciting a decade or two, even though you know your mind will probably wander. Because what is prayer? It is lifting up not only of the mind, the intellect, but also of the heart, love, intention, up to God. When you, if you still can, go down on your knees and lift up your heart and mind to God, that always counts for something in the divine plan. Believe that it is true. If that is the case, why are my prayers often not heard? Well, St. Bernard sums up three good reasons, and they are our three T's today. And the first of them is that our prayer is sometimes timid, and then it might be tepid, and thirdly, temerarious. We'd almost have to get a dictionary, some of us would, for these three excellent adjectives. Temerarious, that means rash, bold. We presume, like the Pharisees, that God will hear our prayer. We're almost doing the good Lord a favor by showing up in church or by praying at all. Temerarious prayer, that's not heard. Second, tepid. You know, tepid water, lukewarm, not hot, not cold, not very sincere. Again, it's just, some days it's just the word, not only that mind's not there, but neither is the heart. It's just the words lukewarm. But I think our problem might be that we are, yes, I know we are, overly timid in the matter of prayer. That comes from the Latin timidus, meaning fearful. How fearful we are. St. Mark says that our Lord once said, do not fear, only believe. Don't fear for your sins. Don't fear for that sickness that presses on you. Do not fear for all of these situations that seem, do they, too great to be resolved by Almighty God in prayer? Don't fear that you're too little. Don't fear that prayers are only heard for special people or for saints, and that you're not in that number, so therefore you say it's not for me. Of course, whether or not Almighty God will heal us or hear us as we ask in a given particular circumstance is up to Him. It is hidden in the designs of His gracious providence. And we don't begin to presume to know that answer. But we know this, our Jesus loves us. He's one of us, after all. He wants our good. He wants us to be healthy. He wants us to be happy. And He can do all things. And furthermore, He has given us a mother, His own mother, who is, He has made her so, almost omnipotent in the matter of her intercession. Omnipotens supplex, the theologians say. Our Lady, when she prays, is always heard by God. Now, if only we would pray with just a little confidence in our mother of confidence and just repeat the prayer again and again like children, intent on getting what we want, oftentimes we would. Ask God to do what He has the power to do. All things are possible, again, St. Mark's Gospel, if we believe. He is an all-loving and an all-good God. And He doesn't just ignore the requests of His children. In fact, in the Rogation Gospel, St. Matthew writes that our Lord says, look, you're evil, yet you parents, you know how to give good things to your children. How much more will God the Father give good things to us who ask Him? For God is good and all good. Therefore, we should trust in His love. We should pray not only for souls, a lot of souls to pray for always, and situations and families, even those that seem beyond the beyond. We should pray for bodies too, and for healing. Today, pray for all of the sick and the shut-in. Pray for, there's one lady recovering from surgery, Linda Pelfrey. Pray for her and her family. They just moved far away from church. Pray for our sick priests. This Father Wickens, an excellent priest in New Jersey, he's very sick with cancer. And Bishop Sanborn's put his back out, and he's quite ill at the moment. And Father Barry's having surgery tomorrow. Pray for all of our sick. Pray for physical as well as spiritual healing. And do this with confidence. Not confidence in yourself that you're such a good Catholic that somehow you merit to be heard. That would be bold or temerarious. Not confidence that what you are praying for is so important that that sort of gives your prayer a police escort right up to the pearly gates. No, no. Confidence in Him. Confidence through her, our mother of confidence. She has the motorcycle escort. She goes right up to the throne of the Almighty. And why shouldn't she? She'd be happy to take your prayer with her to her Son this morning. Who could go wrong with that kind of a prayer? I conclude with a little story about St. Mark. He is a living example of how prayer changes things. He changed. You know, St. Mark wrote a short and to the point, but also a very humble gospel. There were two embarrassing incidents in his life that are recorded in sacred scripture, the first by his own pen. When he was a young man during the Passion, his father owned the farm called Gethsemane on Mount Olivet, where the Savior went for his agony. And Mark was in bed, and at that time they wore for pajamas a kind of a sheet, like a toga-like, tied around themselves. He was in bed, and he heard the commotion. He heard the soldiers, and he saw the torches and the lights and the voices. So he went out of bed. He crept out to see what was happening. And he saw the Savior kissed by Judas and betrayed. And he saw Peter cutting off the ear of the high priest. And he heard the tumult and the conversations. And then there was a great confusion. And some soldier went to grab him and to arrest him. And he ran away naked from him, leaving his pajamas in the soldier's hands. And St. Mark humbly wrote that about himself. Nor was that the only time that Mark ran away. When he grew up to be a disciple of our Lord. His cousin almost made apostle, St. Barnabas. And he went with the 13th apostle, St. Paul, to Cyprus in the early days on a missionary journey. And young Mark was allowed to take along, to come along with them. But halfway through the journey, this young man grew discouraged at the hardships and the dangers they faced. And he gave up, and he went home, and St. Paul was extremely cross with him. Well, they finished their missionary trip, and the time came after a while to organize another missionary journey. And St. Barnabas was all for giving his cousin, young Mark, another chance, and St. Paul had quite a heated discussion with St. Barnabas. You might call it almost an argument over young Mark. And they parted ways. They had a little split between the two of them over Mark, because he was just too immature, St. Paul thought. Well, over the force of time and of prayer, St. Mark did change, and he grew up to be a very good disciple. In fact, St. Paul writes later that he did him several favors, that he became a good friend to him, and then he became the evangelist, the gospel writer for St. Peter. And St. Peter, out of humility, insisted that he write his own story, Peter's story of betrayal too, because prayer changes things. St. Mark is a living example of that. Prayer changes, though, let's be careful, it doesn't change God. His mind is fixed in eternity. Change God does not. Nor does prayer really change things, because things are just, they're things. They can't, technically speaking, be changed. What does prayer change? It changes hearts. What kind of prayer changes hearts? The prayer of the heart. It happens all the time. Ask for your miracle today. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.